Hello, hello. My name is Adam Cagley.
And my name will be Travis Ferry, and we're still going with the British thing.
You should try an accent, sir.
Hello, everybody.
What was that? What was that supposed to be?
Breaking out the Kentucky accent.
Breaking out your Tucky?
Yeah. Ding 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 ding.
Getting southern on this show. Ding 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 ding. You're going to go with the banjo from Deliverance?
Yeehaw! Don't talk about my family.
I gotta start the show with just a big thank you.
You want to see Deliverance? Go to one of my family reunions.
That's why I don't spend more time around your family.
No. Funny thing was, I was
afraid for my butt.
I was with my ex once, and we were all in the car. It was me, my ex, my sister, and my mom and my dad.
Uh-huh.
And I was driving, and my ex was in the passenger seat, and I looked over at her and I said, "You know, if we run into one of my exes at this family reunion, don't be alarmed." And I went and I looked. Straight face. I looked and I kept looking at the road. I could hear the snickering in the back, and I look over and my ex girlfriend's face is mortified, and she's like, "Are you serious?" I'm like, "Just one or two."
Yep. You know my cousins are attractive ladies.
We got into the sangria.
Oh,
it's one of them California drinks. It's a little sweet.
Yo, gross. That's gross.
I don't know why I went with Stewie there.
I don't know.
I gotta start this episode thanking everyone that listened to the first episode.
Yes, thank you. Our numbers were how good?
Pretty substantial. For one episode, we had a pretty solid debut. I'm genuinely surprised at the number we pulled in for one episode.
I was shocked when he texted me the numbers. I was like, one episode?
One episode. In like 2 days, we had almost 100 downloads.
Thank you. Everybody, seriously, thank you. That was
delicious. The show that launched this network, Bruce Blu-rays and Bootlegs, it took us like 3 episodes to even get close to that. The show, my show Famous People, that I had Nathan Kress on a couple weeks ago.
If anybody doesn't know, he's the kid from iCarly.
No, they got it. They probably know. That show pulled in over 100 in 1 day. We have almost 100 in 2 days.
So
we're up there.
So thank you guys for thinking that we're incredibly funny. Yes.
Thank you for listening for whatever odd reason you chose to listen to us.
But anyway, we have some good news today.
What's your good news?
My good news is I saw the Captain 2 America movie.
You did.
And by the way, I'm going to warn you all, this is a spoiler podcast.
If
you're going to see the movie, mute me. Yeah. I don't want to ruin it for you. It is a fantastic piece of film.
If you don't want spoilers, mute it. Download it still. Just mute
now, it. I have to warn you that those of you who are very apathetic towards political views, you might not find this movie appealing.
You told me it was very politically driven.
It was. I actually read a lot of reviews, and even a blind man can see that it is a libertarian. Not a liberal. Libertarian. Look it up if you don't know the difference. A very oriented movie. I'm not getting into any opinions, but from what I've read and from what I saw, it was a very, very patriotic movie, is what I'll say.
America!
Exactly.
Captain America!
It was a lot about Captain America standing up for the patriotism,
I sent you that meme where it was like that moment when you realize he's really Captain Puerto Rico. Because of the way
I was irritated.
Is.
I'm not gonna lie.
You were so annoyed at that meme.
I was like, really?
Yeah,
he's not even dark.
It's the star on top and the stripes below, like the Puerto Rican flag.
Yeah, I was like, really? Really?
He's Captain Puerto Rico.
You know, but still, Captain America is a U.S. territory then.
Hola.
It still counts.
I am Captain U.S. territory.
Really? Really? Now we're getting racial?
I'm coming to save the day.
Wow.
The first time. I'm just
so sleepy.
Anyway, you have some news, right? Don't you?
I do, but first, I have another attempt at a theme song for us.
Really?
I know you
hate... The last one was horrible.
The first one was great.
Bump and grind.
Bump and grind.
My body's telling me yes.
This fucker knows it.
You played it like 8 times before and after the podcast.
It's because it's a great song.
It's... slightly annoying.
Gets me in the mood.
It's funny for like half a second.
Gets me in the mood to hump. This song, though, I think this is better suited for us. I think this is a very accurate...
Again, nothing of this is pre-screened. I'm listening to it for the first time just as you are.
I think this is a good song for us. You ready?
No. What? Okay. Stop.
Okay.
Cut the xylophone. Okay, cut it.
We can't go with goodbye. Goodbye, horses.
If any of you don't know that, that's from Silence of the Lambs. The whole time I'm listening to that, I'm thinking Anthony Hopkins come down the thing with a salad foot going, hello, Clarice.
You hear that song, you don't think of Buffalo Bill?
No.
Tugging his junk behind him.
Really? Just keep it clean, all right? We had to talk about this.
He does.
I know, but still.
I'm glad you'd seen that movie, because if you hadn't, I was going to sit here and show you the scene and record that, too.
All I remember is the scene where he's eating the brain. And the kid comes up to him in the airplane. He's like, what's that? He's like, my mother always told me to try new things. And he feeds the brain to the kid. And I'm like, dude, that's gross.
Seeing as you don't like my options for theme songs, I suggest you, dear listeners, aid Travis and soothe his very obvious issues with my theme song choices. And submit your own theme songs to us. If you guys like the show enough, take a little time, record us a little theme song. Shoot it over to wordfromthewatchtower@hotmail.com.
And we would be much appreciative.
Shoot anything over there. You can shoot fan mail. I like criticism. People bitch at me. I enjoy it. I've always said if you talk shit.
That's what your ex did. I mean.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've always said if you talk shit in the email for one of my shows, I will still read that email on the show.
He will complain to me about it. But to be honest, I tune you out.
I will read. I'll read it because it's good shit. I'll be like, Susie from Ohio thinks I'm a fatty fat.
Well, you kind of are.
And she'll be like, Susie from Ohio also thinks you're weird. I don't know.
I mean, I could see your roles, man. You're not necessarily postable for Cinnabon here.
You made a joke earlier about being exes with your cousins.
Well, see, that's okay because. Part of my family's from the South. I can make that joke.
It's not okay in any circumstance.
It is.
Because if you're from the South, it makes it worse when you're from the South.
Actually, no, it doesn't.
Eat her then.
They make...
When I say, I mean my sister. Ding, 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 ding.
Well, actually, when I was in Kentucky, they actually made those jokes more than I did.
That's weird.
Which is actually very, very, very surprising. Because there's not a shred of racism down South.
Weird. I don't believe you.
No, I'm not. I was in Kentucky, and... one of my buddies made a racial slur, and before I could say anything to him, this one Southern woman, I swear she was Southern as a bell, comes up and smacks his hand and says, you do not talk that way. This is a Christian household. Love everybody.
Jesus loved everybody.
Yeah, yeah, it's a very loving culture down there. It really is. When I went down there, I was sitting in the firehouse with a couple of volunteers, and this guy walks up to me and goes, you and Adam hungry? I looked at my buddy Adam. Well, not this Adam. Not me. It's a different Adam.
Farthest south I've ever got was Georgia, and that was for work, and I barely left Midtown Atlanta.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so me and Adam were sitting on the couch in the firehouse, and the guy goes, you all hungry? And we said, yeah, we can eat, because I just got off the plane. And he goes, here, take my truck, run and get me a Big Mac, get whatever you want. He throws us his wallet and his keys to his brand new Toyota Tacoma that he just finished revamping with, like, lifts and everything. And I look over at Adam, and Adam's like, oh, yeah.
I don't remember this happening.
No, not you.
I was going to say, I don't remember. I don't remember driving a Toyota Tacoma.
It's his. My buddy's last name is a Polish name. This guy right here is Cagley. Some of you may know him from Shameless.
That nationality is whatever you want it to be. Any hoist.
All right, getting back to the point.
Before we dive into Winter Soldier and all that, there is one bit of film or animation that I wanna kick off the show talking about, just because
he's gonna talk about Bat Creature.
I can't not. It's my show. It's my network. I can't not talk about Batman.
Okay, fine. Every time you talk about Batman, I'm gonna talk about the Blackhawks.
Why?
Because it drives you up a wall.
Yes, but this is a nerd news show, not a hockey show. Keep your Blackhawks.
But let me ask you something. How many? And send this to an email if you must. How many nerds are fans of hockey, football? In soccer. I think soccer is a wonderful hobby.
I talk about sports in the Nerd News Show. Hey, who?
But I'm a jock.
That's why you're here, to provide the contrast. But not with fucking sports. Anyways, DC released today another part of Batman 75th. Which, remember I told you last week, Man of Steel was part of Superman 75th?
Yeah, I know. But tell us more about the release dates. Not the same.
I was correct. Man of Steel was part of Superman 75th last year. They did year-long Superman 75.
Oh, really?
Yes, and this year's Batman 75th, so this year's Batman 75.
Awesome. Okay.
Bruce Timm, one of the creators of the Batman animated series, which gave the world the beautiful gift that is the voice of Kevin Conroy for Batman, and the horrible monster that was Mark Hamill's voice for the Joker. So perfect.
I always favored Jack Nicholson.
Nah, Mark Hamill.
He was a good Joker.
He was a great Joker, but Mark Hamill's my Joker.
He has that evil laugh and that evil look in his
eye. Kevin Conroy is my Batman. They released a short this week from Bruce Timm, the guy that created that show, called Batman Strange Days, which was an animated short. It's only about 2.5 minutes long, which is kind of disappointing. I'd hoped for all the build-up around it, that it would have been at least, like, 5 minutes, but it's like 2 minutes and 28 seconds or something like that. It was drawn and animated and written to be Batman from the 30s.
Oh, okay.
So it was meant to be a story that could fit in with, like, the original comic book from, like the old Detective Comics when he first came out. It was pretty cool. It's like the Batwing was like a biplane.
World's greatest detective.
Yes, exactly. In a biplane.
What was the butler's name? I forgot.
Alfred. You know
Alfred. Alfred, come in. Yes, sir. I'm flying in my biplane. Did you put in the tea? Yes, sir.
Why is Batman English?
I don't know.
If you're going to go with 30s, you should be like, Alfred, see? It's Batman here.
We're not talking about silent film and a Three Stooges. Although, that would be really funny.
If you did Batman with Three Stooges.
No, if you did Batman, Superman, and Captain America as the Three Stooges.
Crossover.
Oh, that would be funny. Like, Batman is Mo, and he's the one that hits people on the head.
He hits him with batarangs the whole time.
Right? But then who...
Imagining with the cat, like, nick, 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 nick.
Like the stupid Lego movie.
I like
yeah, first try.
The Lego movie was great. I loved the Lego movie
I've not
so
seen
much.
It. I've not
oh
seen
my
it.
God.
You are so disappointing in so
bit,
many ways.
There's
wait,
bit.
Who would play Curly in the superhero world?
I don't know.
Would it be one of the sidekicks? By the way, we have something to say about the sidekick.
Yeah, we're gonna get to a good little conversation about sidekicks.
Who would play Curly? Wonder Woman?
Wonder Woman?
No, she wouldn't. Wait,
which one was Curly? Curly was the fat one, right?
Curly was the fat, goofy one that always like... Nyeh, nyeh, nyeh,
nyeh. The blob from the X-Men.
Blub, 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 blub.
Then it sounds like he's a fish.
Magikarp. Magikarp. The fish that never evolves.
No, Magikarp rolled into Gyarados.
Oh, no, there was a meme, and it said, It's like Magikarp, and it's just when I evolve, I'm going to kick everybody's butt. No,
Magikarp.
Like, Magikarp. Go Magikarp!
Nobody wanted
me. Why do you not do anything, you stupid fish?
I remember the game when I was a kid, people were like, I caught a Magikarp. What am I going to do with a Magikarp? And I'm like, wait for it to evolve. And they're like, no, it takes too much time.
But it's a Gyarados, where it's like, bruh. It like vomits on you.
Well, the Gyarados is like a big dragon looking
I know, but like literally, have you ever noticed that if you look at... Because when I grew up, I didn't have a color television in my room. So I watched Pokemon in black and white.
Pokemon.
And Gyarados looked like he was vomiting on people.
Because you couldn't see the color?
Yeah, I know.
What must a Dragon Ball Z look like for you without color?
I felt like I was in the 30s. Like silent film. I turned off the... Sometimes when I was a kid, I'd turn off the volume and I pretend it's like a silent film.
What is he shooting out of his hands? Why does that man look like he's...
It's a precursor to Spider-Man.
...taking a hard dump?
Oh, God.
Imagine without sound, without color, the look on, like, Goku's face while he's powering up. It would just be, like, strained.
Anyway. Alright, getting back to some of this important news. Superhero Three Stooges.
Superhero Three Stooges.
The Blob, Batman, and
Magikarp. Batman just whacking Magikarp on the head the whole time.
Yeah, that one would be Curly.
God, I hate you, fish.
Magikarp. He's just like on the floor. Magikarp, Magikarp.
You know,
Magikarp.
there's like some 90s kid like us that's like,
oh,
yeah,
no.
Magikarp.
But Pikachu knows everything. I heard that on a comedy.
What was that?
That was from Gabriel Iglesias.
What accent was that?
I want to say it was Magikarp.
It was Magikarpian.
Magikarpian?
The territory of Magikarpa.
Yes.
Magikarpa.
Like, what was it in a Rocky Picture Horror Movie?
In Rocky Horror Picture Show? Rocky Horror Picture Movie?
I was close. It was, what is it? I'm a sexy transvestite from Transylvania.
Sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Don't give me. I'll sing that whole song right now.
Please don't. No, don't. I have bad images of Tim Curry now.
How do you do? I no. See you.
Does that smell like chloroform?
Yes, it does.
Oh, snot. Oh, gross.
You shouldn't have bad images of Tim Curry from the movie. You should have great images of Tim Curry from the movie.
I remember him from, like, Annie and Red October.
He wouldn't have gotten those movies if it wasn't for Rocky Horror.
But those are the movies I saw him in. Like, you saw Empire Strikes Back first.
He wasn't in Empire.
No, I meant, like, in contrast. Those are the movies I saw of him first. You saw Empire Strikes Back instead of seeing the original first movie.
Yeah.
Like, so, I that's your first movie.
I didn't understand Roman numerals, and I watched Empire first.
This one has a V.
Yeah, well, like,
this one must go last.
My mom rented me the box set, and they were out of order in the box set. I didn't know, like, okay, this is 4, 5, and 6. So Empire was first in the box set, so I was like, okay. Didn't understand a damn thing. I was like, who's the guy in the black? Who's the old man ghosty guy? I didn't understand it at all. It's because I was so out of order. And then I watched New Hope, and I was like, so this movie explains the first one? And then I watched Jedi and was like, so wait, now he's Indiana Jones is made of rock? Okay. And then my mom was like, no, these are Roman numerals. It's 4, 5, and 6. She watched them out of order. I was like, oh. She bought me these toys
before these I watched toys. The movies. You sound like Christopher Walken.
She bought me these action figures. And I didn't quite get it because the Han Solo that she bought me came with a jetpack. And I was like, what in the movies does he ever use?
They use these things too.
And you're gonna go Shatner.
Star Trek, baby.
Oh god.
That's right. Hey, you know what else I found out? Shatner got his start on the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, I knew that.
I saw him in a couple of those Twilight You know what's really funny? The Twilight Zone. The world. The Twilight intro is my sister's ringtone. Right? Because she's kind of out there.
You're about to enter a world of very strange siblings.
Anywho.
I know you've got stuff.
I'm itching.
You've been itching for like a week to talk about this. You saw this like almost right after we recorded the first episode.
Yes, we did. So, anyway.
Spoiler alert right now.
If you are going to see the movie, if you want to see the movie, download and then mute.
If the internet hasn't already spoiled the crap out of this show for you already, this will definitely do it for you. Which, I mean, honestly, in this day and age, how could the internet not have ruined this movie for you already?
Well, anyway.
Let's run down this movie. Let's go through Winter Soldier.
Well, so the opening credits go and everything goes.
What are the opening credits like?
Wordy.
What do they look like?
It's like reading a book.
Is it really?
Shut up.
Is Chris Evans in them?
He has a line.
He has a line in the opening credits?
Yeah.
He's like, "Merca."
Pretty much. But anyway. So, the opening credit. Now, if any of you have seen the original Avengers, you notice the hover carrier and everything.
Helicarrier.
Well, helicarrier, thank you. Mm-hmm. Hover carrier, helicarrier. Anyway, so, in this movie, they actually produced 3 more. I know it kind of looks like more in the promos and everything, but it's actually just 3. And they've designed these to link up with satellites so they don't ever have to come down. They're all kind of automated with a minimal crew.
There's a running joke in the Marvel Universe that the helicarriers never last. There's, like, I follow this blog called Text from Superheroes.
Yeah.
Where it's like Nick Fury's texting Captain America, and he's like, "We need you at the christening of the new." It got blown up. He's like, "In an hour."
It's so true.
And then he's like, "Oh, but we built another one. We need you at the." That one's gone too. In an hour, we're gonna need you at the christening of that one, and it's probably gonna be under attack.
It's true.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna lie. These helicarriers have a very small air life. I'm not gonna lie.
The first in Avengers, that helicarrier was done like halfway through.
I don't know.
They get on it, and then it's just like Hawkeye shoots an arrow at it. It's like, oh, we're dead.
Anyway, so these 3 helicarriers, and they're basically automated through a satellite system in the geosynchronous orbit, so that these helicarriers don't ever have to come down and run on a minimal crew, and they're upgraded now with Stark's repulsor lift technology.
Oh, so they run on like arc reactors. Yeah.
By the way, Stark does not make an appearance in this movie. I'm just saying. But anyway,
I would have wished.
So these helicarriers have the ability to, they have these what would you call computer guided armaments. These things are heavily armored. They are the ones you remember from the original Avengers. This times that by three, and then add bristling guns everywhere.
They don't want Jeremy Renner shooting arrows at the engines again.
Right?
And knocking one arrow. Out. Yeah, they shot an arrow at one engine, and it messed up. I watched the movie the other day, and it messed up the one engine. And then, like, they landed, and he took the other one offline, and then Iron Man had to, like, put them all back online.
I know. But the thing was,
they were so vulnerable.
I know. It's like the Death Star with that 1 2-meter big hole.
Yeah, except the helicarriers.
That would put some plywood
over. The helicarriers had four of them. Each of their engines were like, if I shoot an arrow at it, I bet that thing would blow up pretty good.
But anyway.
Katniss.
So like I said, these hover carriers have these computer guidance ordnances and bristling machine guns to basically, and Nick Fury, I quote, says, they'll take out 1,000 enemies in a minute or under. Well, here's
that to the test, Nick. Yeah.
And then basically what happens is Nick Fury, then after he introduces all these things, and I think it's called Project
Runway.
Oh, Tim Conway's on there. All these helicarriers are delicious.
Tim, that's not his name.
Is it?
Tim Gunn.
Oh, it's Tim Gunn.
Why do I know that?
Why do you know
that? I don't know. He's got like Captain America looking.
I always suspect
this is Captain America's new uniform. It's darker blue and doesn't look like he's from Puerto Rico.
It's the stealth suit.
It's the stealth suit.
But anyway,
let's look at any superhero already.
So after the introduction of these hover carriers, they're still under construction, and I can't for the life of me remember what the initiative was. I think it was like Infinity or something along that line. Runabout or something. But anyway, then all of a sudden, the captain gets called to
Boatload of Helicarrier Initiative is what we'll call it.
Oh, why not? Well, he gets called out to now, I'm gonna lie, all you MMA fans, if any of you are, George St. Pierre actually makes a debut. He's a French terrorist, and he has a beard. It's awesome. It's awesome.
He's never acted, but he's got beard. And, he's
and you know what? Should be really funny. I think this is the first Frenchman I know who could defend himself without a white flag.
Oh, ho, damn. There goes the whole French audience.
America.
The whole French audience is like, how dare he?
Hey, I like French fries and French toast.
How dare he talk about about France like it is?
Is it French? Do you want to build a snowman?
Is it Frozen?
I don't know. I heard that. I thought it was funny. Anyway.
I don't think we're offending the French audience. All of our downloads came from the U.S. and Alaska.
And Hawaii.
No, it was just
hey, mala, bro.
You dare talk about the Hawaiians. It was just continental U.S. and Alaska. That's where all our downloads came from.
But anyway, so there's this freighter out in the ocean. It's a SHIELD freighter.
Yes.
And it apparently, as far as Captain America knows, it's under attack by these French terrorists.
America.
And he has to go there and retrieve this. He's going there to retrieve the scientist. But he doesn't know that Black Widow has her own initiatives to retrieve all the data that's stored on the boat.
Black Widow wants to get her scientist too. Yeah.
Well, Captain America throws a hissy fit. He's like, dude, if I'm going to lead this team, I need to know where everybody is and when they're doing it. And he yells at Black Widow. He's like, you almost cost us this mission because they literally almost get blown up.
I couldn't bring myself to yell at Black Widow.
You talk a lot.
I'd be like, she's just, I'm talking back to you. I'm having a conversation. Okay. She's just too attractive for me to yell at. I'd be like, you screwed up and you almost killed a bunch of people, but just that suit and the curves and the,
Okay. Here's a napkin. Wipe the drool.
Wipe it something. Oh, God. In the breastises. In the booty.
Anyway.
Booty popping.
Anyway. Anyway. Then Robert Redford does make an appearance. If any of you don't know who he is, look him up.
Very old actor.
He's a very old actor. Very good actor. But he apparently plays the business corporate type of Nick Fury.
He turns out to be Hydra, doesn't he?
He is, actually. Yeah. Thank you for spoiling my spoiler.
Spoiler.
Anyway.
Spoiler alert.
What you won't know, which everybody will love, the hopeless romantics of this series, Captain does reunite with Peggy, the British love he had in the first movie.
Ancient.
Yes, she is. She's very old and gray, and she's in a hospital in Buckingham Palace, I think.
They have this
nice conversation.
She's in a hospital in the place where the Queen lives?
Yeah. It's like a ward of it, I guess.
In a hospital inside the actual palace.
Here's the kicker. Peggy, the General, Stark, they're all the original founders of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, I knew that.
I didn't know that.
I'm just trying to wrap my head around the hospital inside Buckingham Palace.
I don't know. It looked like Buckingham Palace. It was old and trendy, and there's British people everywhere.
That's London. That's the whole city.
You know what? You know what my first impression of London was?
What?
I saw Reign of Fire.
The movie with Christian Bale and the dragons.
Yeah, and London's all just this wasteland of dragons. And the funny thing was, my dad, he comes up, and my dad used to travel with my grandfather in the army.
And they fought dragons.
He looks at me and he goes, "You see that picture of London?" And I go, "Yeah." And he goes, "That's what it looks like."
Dragons, Khaleesi. They cannot be tamed, even by their mother. If you knew Game of Thrones, you totally would have got that reference. You would have been like, "Yeah!
I don't know Game of Thrones!"
I'm going to show it to you one of these days. You'll love it.
Anyway. So now we're getting into the middle of the movie, and unfortunately, S.H.I.E.L.D. gets compromised. Nick Fury gets attacked several times, and he's actually killed.
Oh, hell
quote
nah.
Unquote.
Oh, hell nah.
Yeah. He is killed by the Winter Soldier, who is, by description of Black Widow, a ghost phantom assassin sniper ghost. He uses untraceable Soviet slugs that don't use any rifling. It's really interesting.
Really?
And he's been known for 24 assassinations over the past 50 years.
Dear sweet baby Cthulhu.
Now I want you to put that together. I want you to think about this. Captain America has been frozen for 50 years.
America.
The Winter Soldier has been doing assassinations for 50 years.
Yeah.
Here's the kicker. The Winter Soldier is Bucky Barnes.
Yeah, but there's something like he had been frozen for... In the comic books, I know he'd been frozen for a
while.
Well,
they don't actually do that. What they hound is
he
Dr.
Came
Zola...
Back around the Cold War.
Dr. Zola, who is still part of Hydra, picks him up and turns him and takes... His arm's all mangled up, so he takes the arm and he turns into this giant robotic arm. And he turns Bucky Barnes after he brainwashes him. And he wipes his memory, turns him in...
To the Winter Soldier.
Turns him into the Winter Soldier. Well, anyway.
You know what happens with Bucky Barnes.
He takes over for Captain America.
You know how Captain America dies, right? Have I told you this?
I don't, but I don't think you want to spoil the third movie.
Well, I mean, the books where Captain America dies have been out for probably 6 years now.
Yeah, probably half our audience read them anyway.
It was the Marvel Civil War. After the Marvel Civil War, Captain America gets arrested for leading the superhero rebellion. I've told you the Marvel Civil War, right?
No, you haven't, actually.
It was...
But please feel free to tell our viewers.
Yes. Following in the wake of a superhero whose powers caused a massive explosion, the U.S. government decides that every superhero needs to publicly unmask... Register their name with the government so that people can know their names and register their power set.
Well,
there is
stupid.
A faction of superheroes that believe they shouldn't have to do that to protect their anonymity, and there's a group that believe they should. Iron Man leads the group that thinks they should. Captain America leads the group that thinks they shouldn't.
Okay.
And there's a Marvel Civil War. All the superheroes are fighting a war against
each other.
Which
one does Hulk join? I gotta know.
I don't remember which that Hulk was. I don't think Hulk was there, actually. I think Hulk was off-world at that point. No, yeah, Hulk was off-world at that point.
Dang it. He would have joined Captain America. I know it.
Nah,
what about Thor?
Thor doesn't have a secret identity.
He's Thor.
I mean, he did for a while, but, I mean, he's Thor all the time. It was like Iron Man and Captain America are on separate sides. Spider-Man publicly unmasked and joined Captain America. There were a bunch of heroes with Iron Man, sorry, and they fought each other, and at the end of the war... Captain America basically realizes, like, we're doing more damage than we are good, and he lays down arms, and all the rebels get arrested, and Captain America gets arrested. And while they're taking him in for his trial, a brainwashed S.H.I.E.L.D. agent shoots him point-blank, like, 4 times in the chest and kills him.
Ugh.
And Bucky Barnes takes over after he dies. That's actually when I stopped reading Marvel books, is when they brought him back.
Why?
They killed him, and then he was dead for a long time.
Okay, but to be honest, in the... Captain America, the First Avenger, you saw Bucky Barnes fall, but you never really see him, quote-unquote,
die.
I mean, it's kind of...
Captain America did die, though. Like, there was a giant event. I have the book in my closet. It was the death of Captain America, like, the single issue of the comic book, and it, like, had major repercussions, and all the writers at Marvel were like, all these things we've done over the course of Civil War, we're not gonna take back, and then they took most of them back, and they brought Captain America... back to life at, like, a really super convenient time. It was at a time when, like, Asgard was invading Earth. And they brought back Captain America, like, really randomly. All of a sudden, he was alive again. And the story was just... That's why I stopped reading Marvels, because, like, when DC brings back a superhero, they bring him back for a reason. Marvel brought him back just to, like... They killed him just to kill them and then bring them back because they don't want to have the new character.
But that's the same thing DC does.
No,
when a character starts to die off in popularity, they just nicks him off, and then when they brought everybody back, like Batman died, and they brought him back with the Green Lantern, the Dead Ring.
That was long after, but DC when there's a quote I read that said basically something like every comic book universe every like decade or so needs an enema.
Yeah.
So like Marvel just kills everybody. They killed Spider-Man, brought him back, didn't explain how he came back, but he was
Prove
just
it.
Back. I have the books. They killed Captain America, brought him back, didn't explain how he came back. It was like, hey, he's here now. And then Bucky was like, all right, I'll just go back to doing what I was doing. You're good, Chief. DC.
I love to see that.
DC's killed Batman. They've killed Superman. They've all come back. But when DC wants to shake things up, they just reset the whole universe. They bring in the DC multiverse. Like, there was Crisis on Infinite Earths, Infinite Crisis, and Final Crisis. Those three events changed the timelines of the DC universe because they brought in the multiverse, changed things. Final Crisis is where Batman gets killed by Darkseid. It's revealed that Darkseid didn't really kill him. He just sent him hurtling through time. But most recently, they did Flashpoint, where Professor Zoom, or the Reverse Flash, however you want to call him, goes backwards in time and alters the timeline so that...
My question is, why was Hulk off-world? What was he doing?
Oh, there was a think tank of superheroes that decided that Hulk was too dangerous to be kept on Earth.
Well, duh!
So they put him in a rocket and they ship him out in space, and they're like, he'll just land wherever he lands, and he lands on a planet and ends up becoming a gladiator on this planet, and then ends up becoming king of this planet, and then comes back to fight the superheroes.
Yeah!
He comes back all pissed off. But DC did this event called Flashpoint where the timeline was messed up in the past so that Bruce got shot and Thomas and Martha Wayne lived. Mm-hmm. Thomas Wayne became Batman, Martha Wayne became the Joker.
No way.
Superman's pod didn't land in Smallville, it landed in downtown Metropolis. Killed a bunch of people and the U.S. government seized control of him and he never saw sunlight, so he never got his powers. And Flash never got his powers, and Wonder Woman and Aquaman were at war with each other for control of the world.
Wow.
So Flashpoint was basically Flash, in that timeline, realizes what's going on, and has to go back and set everything right. He goes back and he changes everything, and it reset the DC universe to the New 52. DC doesn't like to... I mean, they're not afraid to kill characters, which that bugs me about both publishers, is that it's like... Both of them are at the point now where it's like, instead of telling actual stories, they're just going to kill off characters.
It's like what do you call those things? Those stories? Like your mom watches?
Yeah, like soap opera. I mean, that's comics or soap operas in general, but...
It's time to watch Days of All Watchtowers.
But they, DC, when they want to shake things up, instead of having, like...
But I'm still a Marvel fan because I feel they got better stories.
Have you read a Marvel book in the last 5 years?
Yes.
Which ones?
Hulk?
Then you would know what I was talking about with World War Hulk.
Really? Can I not play dumb for the audience? Can I not play dumb for the audience?
Have you read World War Hulk?
Yes.
World War Hulk. What happened in World War Hulk?
Really?
Yes, yeah, so I enjoy the fact that the DC fanboy is educating the Marvel fanboy.
I hate you.
World War Hulk, you would dig it. It was like Hulk comes back.
Yeah, I know.
And you know what happens next? What happens after Hulk comes back?
He kills everybody!
No, he doesn't. He comes back
and... I had a 50-50 shot.
He comes back and he's pissed and he wants to kill this superhero Illuminati that sent him out into space. So
I remember Illuminati.
All of the superheroes band to try to kick Hulk's ass and none of them can.
That's what I love about... Hulk is one of these superheroes that...
I'll give you this. Who would win a fight? Hulk or Superman?
Hulk.
Really?
Okay, well think about it. Superman is super strong, but Hulk gets stronger and bigger as he gets angry.
The more you hurt him, the more angry he gets.
So Superman, although has a limit, Hulk doesn't.
Yeah.
He keeps he gets stronger and bigger and faster and meaner. The more you throw against Hulk, the harder he comes at you.
That's why
Betty Ross was able to calm him down because she brought love to him, which then made him sweat everything out in the first movie.
This is why I always said, like, if there was a fight between the Justice League and the Avengers, they would give Batman the Hulk. just because Batman would be like, okay, I need to somehow pacify him.
Exactly.
And would use a sonic batarang, which would screw with his brainwave frequency.
But the thing is, in The Incredible Hulk, they tried the sonic wave thing with the Jeeps and everything. He fought his way through it.
Well, there's
because he got angrier.
There's a hero named the Golden Sentry who he uses light patterns and, like, I think it was something effective like light patterns and sonic waves to pacify him. Batman would find a way to screw with his brainwave frequency and knock him out.
My money's still on the Hulk. I still have to say the Hulk.
Yeah.
The Hulk is probably, next to Superman in the DC, Hulk is probably the most powerful superhero in the Marvel Universe.
Who would you put in a fight between the Hulk and Green Lantern?
Who would I put in a fight? Or who would I choose in a fight? Pick? It'd be the Hulk.
Really?
Because think about it. The Green Lantern...
And I know you dig Lantern, too.
I love Lantern. Lantern is like the essence of who I am and who I want to be. The guardians of the universe, the protectors, the super cops of the universe. I would love to be the Lantern. But, I stick by the original synopsis of the Hulk. He is a rage monster. The more you meet him with conflict...
The stronger he gets.
The bigger conflict he's going to present. So no matter what... And he can't be pierced by bullets or anything, needle or anything. So what does Green Lantern have to throw at him? Besides throwing giant rocks at him made of willpower.
Build constructs and try to destroy him with his constructs. I mean, even then,
But Hulk is, like I said, if you meet him with conflict is what you're going to get, and it's going to come back at you 100-fold. So the thing is, you... should have to pacify him, but I really don't see Batman having a way to do it.
Yeah, I think
because even Batman has a certain limits, and when you have a giant rage monster in front of you, he grabs you with a hand about the size of your full body.
Batman would know that, though. He would know not to let the Hulk get close enough to him. I think honestly, if there was one superhero that could take down the Hulk, not like matching him sheer strength and going head to head, it would be Batman, because he would find a way to pacify him or screw with his brainwaves and knock him out.
Again, if you have any opinions on our versus comments,
please
email us. I really want backup.
Hotmail.com.
Marvel fans unite. DC will crumble beneath our might.
The DCU is getting all kinds of pissy now. You know, screw the DCU, sir.
Bring it.
They're like, oh hell nah.
Dude, I would if I had a choice, it would be Captain America, the Green Lantern.
Who would you put in a fight between Superman and Cap? I would pick Superman.
You know what, to be perfectly honest, should I go off of my favorite or practicality?
Practicality, I think about it logically.
That's why. Well, the vibranium shield would take pretty much everything, strength and...
The heat vision.
And the heat vision from Superman.
But if he were to get that shield away from him...
That's the thing, though, could he?
If Cap threw it.
But the thing is, imagine this.
If Cap threw it, Superman would have the reaction time to catch it and throw it straight up into space. He'd be like, nope! No shield.
By the way, the Winter Soldier does do that. He throws his shield clearly right at him, and he turns around just and grabs it. It's awesome.
I mean, like, when I think about logically...
Superman would win logically, but Captain has the willpower to stand up after he gets knocked down. And you see that clearly in the Captain 2 Avenger movie. He gets knocked down so many times, he gets beaten, but he comes back tenfold.
I mean, like, when I do superhero who and when, I always... There's always the, like, okay, who's my hero? But then I also, like, when I'm talking about Batman versus the Hulk, I'm going logically, like, if someone could design a device, it would be him.
What does he have to take the Hulk? Because when you think about it, the Hulk... Batman does his little jumping thing. The Hulk slams on the ground and sends a shockwave, knocks him on the ground.
Batman would probably...
Like when Hulk faced Thor.
That was cool.
I mean, Thor... If any of you have seen the original Lou Ferrigno 1960-1980s Hulk, which was actually really good, he fights Thor in that one too, and Thor gets his butt kicked. Same thing in the Avengers movie.
Yeah, when he just sucker punches him.
And he like snarves at him. Yeah.
Bats wouldn't let him get close enough. He would keep his distance and find some way to mess with his brainwave frequency and knock him out. Captain America and Superman, I would give that to Superman.
I would give it to Superman, but it would be a fight.
Yeah, it would be a fight.
It would be a good fight.
I mean, it would be a matter of like who's more super strong, and that would be Superman. But Cap would be able to stand with him.
Talk about superheroes who really don't really have a whole lot of superpowers. Who would win in a fight? Batman, Captain America. I'm going with Cap on this one. Because you got to think about it. Batman's all about fighting in the shadows. Cap's all about up front.
Batman's about, like, what's your weakness? Let me exploit that weakness.
But what weakness does Cap have?
I'm sure he has some. In Hush, Batman, when he fights Superman, the reason why he wins is because he puts Lois Lane in danger.
Exactly. But look, think about it. Cap has almost no weaknesses. He's the original superhero.
If you were to put Captain America in the ring with Batman, I would say Batman would have the martial arts knowledge over Cap, because Cap isn't really trained, but Cap would have the strength. Batman would be able to take the beating, but he wouldn't be happy about it, and Cap would probably knock him up something silly.
Exactly. No, I mean, if you're talking about in the street scenario, then maybe the Bat has a chance.
Oh, yeah. If Batman, like, knew the fight was coming, was like, all right, this kid from the Marvel Universe is going to come over here and try to mess with me, he would plan for it. He would get the weapons proper to fight Cap. He would plan how the fight's going to go. He'd lure Cap right to where he wanted him to fight him.
Ah, exactly. But in a fair fight, Cap's got it hands down.
Yeah.
In a fair fight.
If you were to put them in a boxing ring and be like, go. If you were to put Steve Rogers and Bruce Wayne in a ring.
Now, I'm not talking about a boxing ring. I'm not talking about Gotham City Shadows. I'm talking about up front, bright, sunny, shiny day, downtown
Bruce
Manhattan.
Wayne would be sleeping. He'd be like,
see Marvel Universe under attack. He's like, good luck.
He's like, I don't live there. The Chitauri are coming down. He's just like, nah. I gotta go deal with Bane later on. Nah.
No, but seriously,
Bane versus the Hulk.
Doomsday.
Doomsday would kill the Hulk just because Doomsday.
I can't imagine.
Doomsday can't stop.
But neither can the Hulk.
That fight would go forever.
Can you imagine the amount of destruction?
Oh my god. The fight between Superman and Doomsday leveled Metropolis. They would level everything. Just because, like, Doomsday, once he starts, he won't stop killing things. That's why Doomsday is the way he is. He was meant to be a super soldier, but he can't distinguish the difference between enemy and ally.
Exactly.
So he kills everything.
But then again, that's the same thing with the Hulk.
Yeah.
So would you say that Doomsday is the contrast of Marvel's Hulk?
Yeah, but Doomsday is a little more indestructible because Doomsday was meant to stand against Superman. He was meant to be the one thing that could kill Superman when they wrote him.
But the thing is, again, I mean, you're talking about a hero who started out indestructible.
Yeah.
Superman Returns, the guy takes a 45 hollow point to the eye.
I hate that movie so much. Let's get back to Cap. You were talking about Cap. We're almost done with your recap of Cap.
Okay.
Well,
we got to Bucky is the Winter Soldier, and we find out who he is.
Yeah.
Dr. Zola, when they go to this army base down in New Jersey, where Steve Rogers was originally trained for the SSR.
To Jersey.
They found out that there's this ammo storage on base, and he looks at it, he goes, this is funny, because ammo storages are supposed to be 500 yards from the barracks.
In Jersey.
And so they go down and they find out this is the S.H.I.E.L.D. Corporation. And he finds an elevator. He goes, why would you need an elevator if you're already underground? So he follows it down and he finds this giant supercomputer, like the 1960s status. Like there's a giant monitor and the computer. It's a whole room.
Yeah.
So he turns it on and guess who's in the computer?
Your mom. I don't know who. Really? Who?
No. Dr. Zola. He got diagnosed with a terminal disease.
Was he the Red Skull's
right-hand man.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The guy with the glasses?
Yeah,
exactly. Well, he got diagnosed with... He was recruited in S.H.I.E.L.D., but he pertained to keep the Hydra name, and he recruited within S.H.I.E.L.D., and we're going to get to that in a second.
Red Skull was cool.
Zola's mind got absorbed. They put him in the computer to where he could still knowledge without his body.
Yeah.
And they...
So he was, like, disembodied? He was, like...
He was disembodied. He was a full-on, like, Jarvis thing.
Jarvis in Avengers 2 is going to be something to see.
I know, right?
You know what happens to Jarvis in Avengers? They're saying,
I don't know what are they saying.
They've cast Paul Bettany, the guy that does the voice of Jarvis, to play a character named the Vision, which is an android that was created by Ultron, the villain in the android villain of Avengers 2.
Really?
So like the theory right now is because at the end of Iron Man 3, Tony Stark was like, I don't want to be Iron Man anymore. They're saying it's going to be something to the effect of, like, he accidentally creates Ultron, and Ultron turns Jarvis into this villain. So he's like, alright, fine.
Okay. Well, anyway, now we get back. Zola's a computer, but he uses a homing beacon, which sends a domestic ICBM to this base to kill Cap and Black Widow. And they escape, of course.
Kill Scarlett Johansson. I'm done with that franchise.
No. Scarlett Johansson. Although, I'll tell you what happens to her at the end.
I would stop watching and be like...
So, at this point, Cap is basically a fugitive. And Robert Redford's character, who's actually a Hydra member and supposedly killed off Nick Fury, basically brings the Defense Council? The International Council that Fury answered to? The World Defense Council.
International Council of Pancakes.
Something like that. Man, I'm madder than a one-legged woman working at the IHOP.
I cop. International Council of Pancakes. We should get some pancakes.
I wish. There's Denny's down the street. Anyway. So, and basically at this point, since Cap is now deemed dead, and Nick Fury's gone, and this Robert Redford character now has assumed control of S.H.I.E.L.D., now says it's time to initiate the the helicarriers, and he launches them, basically with the intent to use these helicarriers' weapons platforms to eliminate political threats. Now, you can kind of see where the...
The helicarriers are meant to be drones.
They're meant to be drones, and there's only three of them at this point. But there probably will be more.
They're massive.
They're huge. Anyway.
And they're really easily destroyed.
At this point, and now you can kind of see where the political ties are starting to tie in, where the government's taking over and they have their political targets.
The Patriot has to save them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what happens is Cap, and I forgot to mention Falcon comes in the beginning of the movie.
Falcon is so cool.
It is. Falcon has a suit that literally turns into wings, and he turns into like some modern Da Vinci thing, and he's flying through gunfire. Thank you for the sound effects.
That was my wing noise.
Wow. So basically, at this point, Nick Fury comes out of hiding and he says, I have these three targeting chips that need to go on all three helicarriers. The thing is, you can't have one, you can't have two, you have to have all three in place for us to take control of the helicarriers.
That's a pain.
So the Falcon takes one, Cap takes the other, and Black Widow is doing something else.
I'm too busy. I'm going to do something else.
She was... No. What you find out is she actually, in the beginning, when the World Defense Council comes into Robert Redford's office, and he goes up to the woman, who's an old hag, and he's like, how was the flight over? She goes, it was great. It was a little bumpy on the ride over. And then you find out that Black Widow knocked her unconscious, took her place, and she actually infiltrated the World Defense Council and, like, totally stumped Robert Redford's character. So the Hawk and Cap had to jump from one carrier to the other to do it.
Like,
and
literally, they had to, like, jump?
Well, no, Cap, he threw Cap on one carrier, and Cap just started throwing people off and kicking everybody's butt. And then he went to one.
I trust that as a mode of transport. Right? I'd be like, no, don't throw me.
No, and then the Falcon goes to the other one.
My luck, I'd be the one guy that's too heavy for Cap to throw. He'd be like, oh, I'm sorry, fatty. And I'd be like, you
actually,
suck.
They say that. He goes... He picks him up and he takes him to the third carrier because the other two are under control. And he goes, man, you're heavier than it looks. He goes, it's mostly muscle.
I'd be like, Batman could do it. Batwing drops down.
Oh, fucking
Batman. Here to help you.
Anyway, so then they go up to the third one. And the third one, the Falcon gets his wing torn off by the Winter Soldier. So he gets flown down and he cripples him. He goes, well, my suit's down. You're on your own. He goes, I can handle it from here. Well, then the Winter Soldier, which is Bucky, and Steve Rogers go at it for like 5 minutes. This fight scene's epic. It happens on a glass surface right above the city of New York and everything.
Cool.
Or no, it's DC. Excuse me. It's not New York. It's DC.
They're fighting in the DC universe?
No, they're fighting in DC, Washington DC.
I don't know. Is that named after the DC universe?
DC universe sucks.
Is it Washington Detective Comics?
Batman is horrible.
I'm listening. Continue. I get your point.
Anyway.
You're going to break out of them fighting words. I'm going to let you finish.
So at this point now, after Cap, he basically pulls a very patriotic thing. He looks at Bucky and he says, you're my friend. I'm not going to fight you. Well, Bucky still is, right?
No, he said Cap pulls a very patriotic thing. I just imagine like mid-fight, Cap's like, and I'm proud to be an American.
Punching his way through everything. Yeah.
Where at least I know I can kick you in the head.
Well, anyway, he looks at Bucky and he says, you're my best friend, I'm not going to fight you. And Bucky basically kicks his ass. And then there's one point where everything falls and Captain Rogers is unconscious. Bucky Barnes saves him because he finally realizes who he is.
Yeah, he gets his memories back.
Yeah, and everything. And Then all of a sudden, the third chip gets in place, and these three helicarriers all of a sudden turn their guns on each other. So now, and then Robert Redford, this is probably the best line in the whole movie, Robert Redford looking from his office window at these three helicarriers just destroying each other, he goes, "What a waste." And I'm like, these helicarriers have been in the air at this point for probably 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
And all of a sudden, now one of them comes through and crashes through the S.H.I.E.L.D. office, and Falcon has to, like, run out, and Nick Fury has a helicopter, and he, like, pulls this weird move where he comes up like this on his side, and he jumps in through there and almost falls out the back. And it's a really good movie. That's pretty much the entire synopsis. But if you stay to the end of the credits and watch, they actually intro and they set up the next two movies. They set up Cap 3 with Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch.
I thought they set up Cap 3 with Bucky in the museum.
Yeah, no. Bucky's in there.
Yeah.
And then Quicksilver and the Scarlet Witch, the next two villains that come in on Cap 3.
Magneto's kids. Well, Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch are in Avengers.
And that's another thing. They actually have the Loki glow fighting stick.
The Loki pokey stick.
Loki pokey stick. They actually have that set up in there too. So they've set up both movies with the one ending, well, which is really good.
Bucky's obviously going to take over for Cap because, I mean, one, that's how it goes in the story anyway. Two, Chris Evans is like, well, my contract is up. I don't want to do any more movies for a long time.
Yeah, he said he wants to go into directing along with
So, I mean, they're going to kill off Cap in probably Avengers 3
or it might not kill him off. They might pull a Black Widow say, you know, I can't deal with this world anymore.
They're going to kill him off. That's how it progressed. But then Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch join the Avengers in Age of Ultron. Hmm. Which I found out a couple days ago. Guardians of the Galaxy?
I saw that movie. I started giggling.
That looks so good.
I started giggling.
That's going to set up Avengers 3.
Really?
Yeah, remember the end credit scene after Avengers where they show, like, the really big, weird, almost purple-looking dude?
Yeah.
Thanos is his name.
Yeah, you told me this when we first saw the movie.
Yeah, Thanos. And did you see Thor the Dark World?
I did.
The end scene where the two Asgardians take the Tesseract or the Aether, one of the two, to the Collector.
Yes, I remember that.
The Tesseract and the Aether are Infinity Stones. They're like 5 or 6 Infinity Stones that fuel or power something called the Infinity Gauntlet. Infinity Gauntlet gives you control over pretty much everything. Space, time, all that crap. Thanos controls the Infinity Gauntlet. That's like, there's an Infinity Gauntlet saga where this cosmic being named Thanos gets control of all the Infinity Stones and puts them on the Infinity Gauntlet. And there's a scene in Thor Dark World where in the background you can see in, like, Odin's trophy room the empty Infinity Gauntlet without its stones.
Wow.
So Avengers 3 is going to be Thanos and the Infinity Gauntlet, and Avengers 2 is going to set that up more. And
One more thing about the sidekicks. I know we wanted to touch base on that.
We're going to get to that. Okay. We got a little bit of time still.
Anyway. What?
You said anyway like you were going to say something.
Pudding!
And then you're like, nope. So, talking about Psych. Bucky Barnes and the sidekicks, the sidekicks are dead.
And you know what? To be honest, I don't understand why. Well, I really think because Teen Titans and Young Avengers got canceled within a month of each other.
Those books ended within like a month of each other just because it's like, the publishers are realizing now that comic books are going to a much darker and more brutal place.
Yeah, the solo hero is what
they're looking for. Yeah, so it's like, because comic books are getting so much darker and so much more brutal, it's irresponsible for the heroes to have, like, teen counterparts. Just because, like the last real sidekick was Damian Wayne.
And he got killed.
Yeah, he got stabbed, like, clean through. And that, a lot of people are saying that that's marking the death of the modern sidekick. Just because, like, Robin started the modern sidekick, Robin's now ending the modern sidekick. They're saying, saying that because of his death, it's like marking the end, because now you can't have kids anymore. Yeah. I mean, Marvel had Bucky, they had War Machine, they had Demolition Man, they had the Falcon. Those were all adults. DC's end, they had Robin, they had Superboy, Supergirl, Wonder Girl.
But the question is Marvel going to keep the sidekicks?
No.
Because Young Avengers was Marvel.
Yeah, but I mean, like, Because you got, and they canceled that though. But
I mean, that's what I don't get. Is they're talking about taking kids out, yet they're going to take out the Marvel Avengers
sidekicks, which is War Machine, which was
no. I mean, they're still around because they're adults.
Exactly. But are they going to be their own independent heroes?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. They are. Whereas, like, the DC sidekicks was younger counterparts that were being trained and groomed to replace the heroes when the heroes couldn't do it anymore. Like, the whole point of Robin was
to Batman Beyond.
Yeah, it was to balance out Batman and was to be like, okay, when I rather die or get too old for this, you're going to take my place. And it's like, every time DC's brought in a superhero, it's been to basically balance out the main hero. Like, Superboy, Supergirl reminds Superman of his humanity. Robin keeps Batman from getting too dark and from getting too brutal with his enemies,
which he should be with the stuff they pull out.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like now Marvel has all these adults that were sidekicks that are basically stemmed off into their own heroes. But sidekicks as they were, young kids being trained and mentored by the adult heroes, are gone because.
On a side note, when are they going to make a Shazam movie? What does he fit, DC or Marvel?
He's DC. Shazam's DC. Yeah.
Can you imagine Shazam and Superman getting into it?
That would be really cool. They actually, in
speaking of little boys,
Shazam is a little boy.
Yeah, what was his name, Bobby or something?
Billy.
Billy. He goes Shazam.
They did in Justice League War, the last animated movie they put out. It was based on. That's odd.
The cops are looking for people outside our house.
Justice League War was based on the New 52 Justice League Origins book. They replaced Aquaman in it with Shazam, and the lineup was Superman, Cyborg, Green Lantern, Wonder Woman, The Flash, Batman, and Shazam.
Damn.
Shazam, they made Shazam work. He was actually astonishingly badass.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You know, lightning bolt with the brass buttons.
Well, he was the adult hero, but he still talked like a kid because he is still a kid. So it's like, at one point, Wonder Woman saying something, and he's like, yeah, what the hot Greek chick said. And, like, he talks like a 12-year-old or a 13-year-old because he is, like, a preteen or a tween.
You know, I really wish they would make him kind of like a, you know, 17, 18-year-old.
I like that he's younger.
He's kind of scrawny.
Yeah, well, he is scrawny. Billy's kind of
like a nerd, like you.
Yeah.
And me. And
make a fat version of him. He just gets fatter.
Well, anyway, anything else you have to add?
No, I think that about does us for the week.
Happy trails to you.
We need a legit sign off.
We do.
We need something like
that. I kind of like the whole, my name was Adam Cannon, yeah. My name will be. I kind
of
like that.
We'll think of something. We'll think of a new way to say your name while I do my outro.
T-Rav.
T-Rav. All right, save that. Don't forget, if you guys would like to email us, it is wordfromthewatchtower@hotmail.com. Shoot us your compliments.
Your questions.
Your complaints. I love reading complaints live on the show. Any email you send us, I will read.
Absolutely.
I've said this every show over the course of IAF. Any email you send us, I will read on the show.
Absolutely. We will do, probably in a couple of weeks or maybe next week, we should do a fan base, answer fans' questions.
If we have enough. Yeah, totally, totally.
Yeah, so send us your email
so
we can
do
this.
To talk about, whatever.
Absolutely. We sit around all week.
And collect news to talk about.
Exactly. So send us news, send us questions, send us comments. We'll comment them on the show. Just send it.
Yes.
Click and send. Double click.
If you wanna send us an attempt at a theme song, too.
Please.
So I don't have to keep playing songs to make Travis uncomfortable.
I feel dirty.
My mind's telling me no.
Oh, shut up.
Goodbye, right. Horses.
Anyway, my name was Travis Ferrier.
My name will always be Adam Cagley. This was Word from the Watchtower. Have a good week.
Bye.